Book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll be in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians tonight. And we do have so much to thank Him for. And I trust that we'll spend some extra time in the next few days being grateful to Him. And I say extra time because we ought to be grateful to Him all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I've already mentioned to you that we're going to kind of stay in this theme. We've been on some the last several Thursday nights, church health, and we want to have a healthy church. And if we want to have a healthy church, it's a church that's going to honor God. And so it's something that we should make an emphasis is to have a healthy church. And if we're going to have a healthy church, we're not talking about the structure we're meeting in. We're talking about the people of the church, that's you and I, spiritually healthy. And so we ought to work to be spiritually healthy. And so tonight we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we're going to read the entire chapter tonight. So follow along with me if you would. And it's just 10 verses, but we want to go through the entire chapter. And then we'll keep our Bibles open to this passage. And I'll reference many of these verses tonight throughout the Bible study. We begin with verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Tonight I want to bring a study that I've entitled A Church Worth Thanking God For. A Church Worth Thanking God For. Father, I pray that you would use your word tonight, use this study to help us as we consider what you would have us to be as a church. And you've given us patterns, you've given us instructions, you've challenged us to dedicate ourselves as your church to honor and glorify you. But Father, we want to be a healthy church so that we can be a witness, so that we can be a help to this world who is in such desperate need of your Son. And we'll give you the credit for what you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a lot of opinions on what is a church is supposed to be. There's a lot of quote-unquote Christian books and church gurus that will tell you what a church is supposed to be. And amazingly, so many of them line up nothing with Scripture. And we want to make sure that we are a healthy church. Our faith, love, and hope produce visible fruit. We talked about that last Thursday, if you remember that. A healthy church is one that's producing fruit. If you see a fruit tree and it's not producing fruit, there's something wrong with that fruit tree. The same is true of a healthy church. We don't want to just have a church that exists so we can say we meet, we have church. We want to have a church that honors God, but also blesses us, but blesses other people. If we have that, and can I just say I believe that we do, we should give thanks for it. We should be thankful for our church. And let's not be the kind of Christians that's complaining about church. And, oh, Tuesday night. Well, you're going to be here on Thursday. I'll meet you here on Thursday. And, you know, we want to have a church to be thankful for, a church to be grateful for. And we see that in our text tonight. Paul is taking the time, obviously under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, to write to the church at Thessalonica. And in verse number 2, what does he say? We give thanks to God always for you all. When I think of this church, Paul's saying, I can't help but say, God, I thank you for that church. Thank you for this group of believers, your church. Thank you for that church. You know, you and I ought to, when we think of our church, we ought to say, thank you, God, for our church. Thank you for the kind of church that it is. See, we find a church in Thessalonica that was worth imitating. Not every church is worth imitating. This is sad in the day we live in today. A lot of those who know better, grew up in the right kind of church, got the right kind of training, they see churches that are very visible. They have the bright lights, they have the big names, they have all the flashing things, if you will, and they seem to be trendy, but truth of the matter is they're not worth imitating. What is worth imitating? That which lines up with Scripture. See, some churches in the New Testament were divided. The church at Corinth was this way. Some were drifting. Church at Galatia was this way. Some were dying. Think of Sardis. Some were lukewarm. Some were not where they should be, Laodicea. Thessalonica was different. Paul is writing this letter not with rebuke, but with rejoicing. He doesn't correct this church. He's commending this church. Now, if I'm going to be one of these kind of churches, this is the one that I want to be. He says, I give thanks for you. This church was spiritually vibrant, mission-minded, and Christ-honoring. If we want to know what church health looks like, I think this is the model. And so as we think of this, Paul says, this is a church you can be thankful for. Now, that does not mean that everybody in that community was thankful for it. And this should stay our goal. We want a church that honors God. And this is the kind of church that we could have and be thankful for. Now, I have several statements tonight. I'm not going to tell you how many because I don't want you thinking about that. But let me give you number one. A healthy church has a faith that works. We find this in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Faith is not passive. I hope you caught Sunday night as I was teaching on Thanksgiving. It's not an everything feel thanks. It's give it. It makes no difference if you have a heart that feels thanksgiving. God says in everything, give that thanks. The same is true when it comes to faith. I have great faith, so where's your obedience? Because obedience is the evidence of your faith. Faith is not passive. It's going to produce visible obedience. Paul said, I remember without ceasing your work of faith. It is something that produces that something that is tangible, that visible evidence. What does that look like today? It's faithfulness to God's Word. We can say, I have faith, but if we're not faithful to this book, we really don't have faith in this book. It's consistent prayer. I can say, I have faith in a God that can move mountains, so why aren't you talking to Him? Why aren't we praying? With sacrificial giving. Well, I can't give because I got to make sure, no, do we believe that we have, or do we have the faith that has that work? That's what a work of faith looks like. It's a church that doesn't just say, I believe in missionaries, but we're not going to sacrifice to support them. There's a lot of churches that way. I believe God can save anybody. We're just not going to try and tell them. I believe God can help anybody overcome anything through Christ, but we're just not going to give them the opportunity. That's not a work of faith. It's bold witnessing. I think sometimes we think with our witness of the gospel, we think, well, we're looking for that person that says, comes up to us and says, what must I do to be saved? Now, if all my encounters were that, that'd be awesome. But they're not that. But if we really believe God can save, if we have faith that God can truly save anybody, then that should be evident in our bold witnessing. How about the work of faith is our trust during trials? We shouldn't flee in the hard times. Trust Him. Conviction when culture changes. See, faith is not something we talk about. It's something we live. So we do a lot of talking about faith, but we don't do enough living. So a healthy church doesn't just believe the Bible. Can I say it like this? It behaves the Bible. It obeys the Bible. There's a lot of Christians that can wave their Bible and say, I believe this book, but they don't. That the church doesn't live the book. It's a spiritual discipline to forgive. It's a spiritual discipline to be grateful. It's a spiritual discipline to have charity. That is believing. That's by faith believing. So we said a healthy church has a faith that works. Number two, a healthy church has a love that labors. Same verse number three. What is he remembering? Remembering without ceasing, meaning as soon as I think of this church, I can't help but think of these things. I can't help but remember their work of faith and labor of love. That labor of love. Labor here is not just, I'm working. No, it is labor is work to the point of exhaustion. There's work, and then there's labor. It's work to the point of exhaustion. Think about what he's saying. They are loving to the degree of exhaustion. Now, they're not just, I feel love in my heart for my fellow man. No, it's action. It's so much so that it's wearing them out. Anybody else feel tired on Sunday night when you get home? I don't know if y'all do, I do. So that's a good tired. We serve the Lord all day and I'm tired. It's labor. What is a labor of love? It serves because it loves. It loves Christ. It loves people. You don't have to beg me to show love because I love Christ. I love people. I love the lost. The church that loves truth. Truth should not be controversial to God's people because we love the truth. We love the next generation. That's why we do the things that we do. It's showing that labor of love. If you're going to rear your children for the Lord, say, I love them, then you're going to wear yourself out. Now, you may wear yourself out wearing them out, but you're going to wear yourself out. It's work. It is work rearing children. It is work as a church producing another generation. I would say the majority of even Bible-believing churches, like-minded churches, they say, well, we don't have another generation. It's somewhere along the line somebody stopped working in their love. You have to work. You know what drives a bus route? Love. You know what works the nursery? Avoiding the preaching. No. Love. We do have monitors in there. They probably have them muted right now, but the discipleship programs, Sunday school, the ministries we have, helping people, you know what drives all of that? Love. Being a soul winner, the soul winning ministries, you know what drives that? Love. Taking time to speak to another Christian and help them in their grow in their faith, you know what that is love. You know why we give? Because we have to. No, it's love. It's love. He said, I remember your labor of love. That's health. That labor of love. That's a church you can be thankful for. It's a church that loves. And doesn't just love a name only. You know, it's like we have our purpose statement. We love. Well, I'm glad you got a purpose statement. How about a labor of love? How's your labor during the week showing that love? Your labor on Sunday showing that love. Well, I would serve in that capacity on Sunday, Pastor, but it'll wear me out. Oh, you mean you might have to labor in that love? He's It says, number three, also, a healthy church has a hope that endures. Same verse. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that word patience. Everybody's favorite word. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope in Christ gave them endurance. In persecution, patience and delays, and even stability in hard times and storms. You know, these early churches, they faced persecution. How do they have that spiritual endurance, that patience? Because it was their hope that survived. You know, God can allow you to go through something and your health not survive, but your hope in Christ, if you have hope in Him, that'll survive because He's never going to waver. It's a hope that endures. You know, just because we have a difficult time doesn't mean heaven is not eroding. It's not breaking down. You know, the only construction projects in heaven are new construction. There's no remodels in heaven. It's not eroding because that's a hope that endures. See, hope steadies a church. When storms come and storms come in your life and a church faces storms, it's that hope when trials come. When there's critics, there's still critics of the old time way. There's still critics of the Bible. But can I tell you, they've always been here. They've always been around. So what is our hope in? Our hope is not in society accepting us as one of them. Our hope is in Christ who is coming. See, a hopeful church is a steady church. We don't need to be shaken by this world. Over the last 10, 12 years, we've seen some seismic shifts in our country and in the world. You can tell who names the name of Christ and really has hope in Him. And whose hope has been shifted to a political party, to a political figure, to political ideology, to capitalism. We can see whose hope has been or whose hope has stayed steady on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the same. Say, my political party is not what it used to be. Can I tell you who's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus. And the platform King Jesus runs on, He don't have to vote that in. It's established. That's where our hope must be. That's a healthy church. He's saying, one reason I'm thankful for you is your hope's in the right place. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a church anchored in Christ's return will be faithful in Christ's present work. It's hope in Him. What is it talking about? It's that blessed hope. As Paul wrote to Titus, that blessed hope. It's the second coming of Christ. It's our joining Him in eternity. We work because my hope is not in a red wave, a blue wave, a conservative movement. You got a lot of conservatives panicking because, you know, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. My hope is not in that. My hope is in the trumpet sounding. See, I'm not pulling the way some are pulling because I'm watching the signs of the time and these dominoes falling. Means we're getting closer to Jesus coming back. That's my hope. Well, I was like, I hope gas comes down. Well, I like paying less for gas, but my hope is in Christ. He can give me the money I need for gas. I hope this happens. Well, I'm okay with easier times. What's the saying? Easier times make soft men, hard men, weak men. You know, Christians today, are they more dedicated to Christ or in the days of the New Testament when a literal conversion to Christ and standing with Him meant persecution or even death? I'm not advocating for that. But what I'm saying is our hope is not in this world. Number four. A healthy church receives the word with power. Look with me in verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of churches that have the Bible. You realize that God has His book, is His book? But there's a lot of churches that have it, but why isn't there a church to be thankful for? Why is it a different church? Because there's no power. You can quench the Spirit of God. You know, I've written about 20 books, and let's just say it's like somebody was going to do a reading of something I wrote, but yet they were going to interpret the way they wanted to interpret it, and they didn't even want my presence there. No, let me correct that. No. That's a silly illustration, but that's what we do with God sometimes. Is we say, let me tell you what God meant, and the author is present saying, I can tell you what I meant. It's the word with power. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost. The power is what separates. There's other independent Baptist churches that would check all of our doctrinal boxes. And I don't go to those churches. I'm not saying they're bad churches. But there's a difference in saying just checking boxes. And then we have them all over the country. Then where there's some power there. Where you feel it in the singing. You feel it in the preaching. You feel it in the presence of God. He says that's how it came unto you. You say, what happens? A healthy church, it's the preaching of the Word of God. You know a healthy church responds to preaching? Some of these guys, there's men that I know, I love, I've known for years, and they're destroying, they're weakening their church, and they don't even realize it. Because they're not preaching the way they ought to be preaching. They're not preaching the word with power. Preaching the word with power solves a lot of problems. A healthy church responds to preaching with conviction. You know, it responds to that with repentance, with obedience. With humility. When Dr. Wallace was here, 95 years of age, when he preached for us on that Sunday, and he was sitting right there as the choir began to sing and the church service was getting started, and he said, I love the spirit of this church. There's something going on in this church. You know what that tells me? Well, he's been in a few churches like that. He's been in a few services like that. But it also tells me he's been in a few services where they weren't like that. And if he's making a point to say, oh, there's something going on here, that means he's been in some places there's nothing going on there. And it's not the charisma of a man, it's the power of the Word of God. That's why I don't ever get tired of preaching. And the stronger the preaching, the better we are, the healthier we are. Paul says they receive. There's a lot of problems that we would have if the pulpit was softer than it is. And sometimes you got a visitor here that's like, oh, and the pastor gets up and says, I was up all night, God gave me a new message, and I'm just going to, there's some things that God wants us to take care of. And you're like, oh, Lord, I've been trying to get my coworker to be here. Well, can I tell you, they're probably the reason why God kept me up all night, because they need to hear it too. What did Paul also write? Notice your Bible, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. There was assurance by those that were preaching it, but there was also assurance because of the result that came from it. See, I believe this, that church health, as we talk about it, rises and falls on how the church responds to the preaching of God's Word. If you get tired of the preaching of God's Word, you're in spiritual trouble. You're spiritually sick. You shouldn't get mad if something the preacher says is pointed, and as the old saying goes, you got your toes stepped on. If you can go to church for a long period of time and you never get your toes stepped on, there might be a problem with the preacher. So there's a few of you, I'm suspect, so I'm just going to step on all your toes. So receives the word with power, keeps the church strong. Number 5, a healthy church follows godly leadership. He writes in verse 5 at the end, he says, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Now, one of the ways that the devil is attacking the church is attacking the pastor of the church, attacks the leadership of the church. And one mistake that, in my opinion, that even like-minded churches is making is to take the office of the pastor and lower it. Now, man does not need to be elevated no matter what the position the man holds, but the office of a pastor does not need to be lowered. God established that office. And it is a high office, and there's not a man, if I can say this, there's not a man worthy of that office. There's not a man worthy of it. But it just shows the grace of God and how He will use simple, sinful man to fulfill an office He's established to help His people. So a healthy church follows godly leadership. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord. And see, what happens here, it sounds good. Well, we don't worship God. We don't worship man. We worship God. Well, duh. And I always say the joke, and you know, some people say that, well, we don't worship man, and they're wearing a Captain America t-shirt. No, you just don't want to hold the pastor in high esteem. There's godly leadership that must be followed, and what the devil does is he's slick and he's sly, because that's how a new Christian learns how to follow God, is they learn how to follow godly leadership. You know, do we say to a toddler, a child, why are you following your mom? Well, that's how they learn what they're supposed to do. That's the parent, that's the person that God gives them. We don't fuss at them for that. Matter of fact, if they don't do that, we say, what's wrong with you, kid? And every mother in here, if you can remember back that far, you have told your, if you wander off, so you can get kidnapped and you can do this, this is going to happen, and this is, you know, this is good. It's like, okay, mom, they're 20. Let them have a little room. And you can, this can happen, and that can happen, and this and that. But now, those little things are true, so it's like, you better stay with me. You see, you follow me. We don't get on to them for that. But when it comes to those spiritual fathers, if you will, we act like you should just automatically know what you're supposed to do as a Christian. And Paul is reminding them, one reason why you're healthy is you follow the godly leadership that God gave you. A spiritually healthy church, whether the world likes it or not, is a church that follows godly leadership. See, a healthy church is united behind biblical leadership. It's not divided by personal preferences. That's why your pastor is always going to make sure that we are united behind the leadership. And if you know, I was ruined a long time ago the way I was brought up, and say, well, I think we ought to do it this way, and I'm going to get people to see if they want to do this, but then go somewhere else and do it. I'm okay with that. But we have to follow the leadership. But he's saying this is a church that's healthy and to be thankful for because they followed the godly leadership. Notice this in your Bible. When he talks about in verse 6, you became followers, who did they follow first? And there's a lot of Christians who don't grow because some critic gets in their ear. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of weak baby Christians, they've been saved for years, that are out of church, they can't find, because, you know, are they getting one of these weak churches where there's no leadership? What do you guys want to do? That's not God's plan. They followed the leadership first as they were following God. That's how they learned how to follow God. Now, the same illustration as that child, eventually they're going to grow to a point and be less dependent on that parent. And the more you receive the preaching of the Word of God, the more dependent you're going to be on Christ. You shouldn't be dependent on your pastor, other than the fact that God's given you a pastor for godly leadership. You depend on him to preach the word. You depend on him for prayer. You depend on him, the leading guide of the church as God leads him. But that is a scriptural, that's a healthy thing. You know, there's a lot of opinions in this room. And I'm just, so how many opinions? Well, how many ladies are in here? Let's see how many opinions. No, we all have opinions. And I'm not fussing. This is a church that's behind us, Pastor. This is just a good reminder for us to stay healthy. And it's good for us, unless God has called you and created you to be the pastor, there are some insights it is impossible for you to have. Let me say that word again. It's impossible. Because there are some things that only come from the insight of God putting a man in that office. And before I became the pastor, there's some thoughts that I had, but until you have that insight, it is impossible for you to know. That's why it's important for the pastor to be what he's supposed to be. But then it's important for the people to follow. And if the pastor has a different opinion of you on something, that's not something for you to lead the church over. It's when the Word of God and the pastor do not agree. Because if God put the pastor in the office and put you in that church, then something that other than God and the man not agreeing on the Scripture is not going to be something to bring you away. I think we're all okay with that. But that's why even in other roles of church leadership, the deacons and its different staff, it's like they have wisdom. They're there to help the pastor. The pastor wants to hear from them. But there's insight that God gives the pastor that he's not going to give other people. It doesn't mean I'm special. It means the office is special. And God equips the man he puts in the office. Parents, sometimes, the preaching and teaching, and you come for counsel, it's like, I just don't understand that. Maybe God doesn't want you to understand it. He says, follow the leadership I gave you. Now, if it doesn't line up with this book, go with the book. But a healthy church is united behind biblical leadership. I teach that, and I make a big deal about that, because you get taught contrary from outside of the Word of God and outside of the church. And I still believe it's right, young people, you ought to value the opinion of your pastor than some yahoo out there. When it comes to spiritual matters, I don't care what Aunt Susie says. I don't care what Grandma Joan, who hadn't been to church in 25 years, says. They're not the pastor. And sometimes it's just good for us all to be reminded of. Number six, a healthy church becomes an example to others. Look at verse number 7. So that ye were in samples. Okay, follow the progression here. All the things that he's remembering about them, you received the word in power. You knew the manner of him, and now you're following us. And when you are following all that God has enabled you to do, look at verse 7. So that ye were in samples. They all believe in Macedonia in Achaia. See, a healthy church becomes an example to others. He said, because you're doing all this right now, you're an example to all the other churches. I believe that God still raises up churches to be examples to other churches. Healthy churches influence other churches. We need to be reminded of this. We have a responsibility because I believe we are a healthy church. We want to stay a healthy church. The annual conference of yours is a good reminder. There are churches that come here to get help, but they're following an example. I can list a number of churches that are asking your pastor for ideas and counsel. It's not my wisdom. It's like, you have a healthy church. We want to be a healthier church. So we can follow an example. So how do we influence other churches? By our spirit, by soul winning, by giving. By our discipleship, by our missions involvement. By our, and I use that word unity, it doesn't mean we're all the same. It means we're all behind the same effort. The same calling, the same cause. By their holiness. People don't just imitate others. We inspire others. I am not trying to be like every other church. I want us to please the Lord. I want us to do what God has called us to do. And we have an opportunity, we have a responsibility to be an example to other churches. So we have to be okay with that. You know, some people won't step up. There's some people who, they should be part of a ministry like ours, in some cases be part of our ministry, but they won't because they have to rise. There are a lot of men that are better preachers than I am, but they wouldn't dare say what I say, because they don't want to back it up. They don't want to live it. They don't want to stand there. This again, I hope you understand the humility in which I, if you know me, you know I'm the most humble guy around. And so some of you didn't even get that. But it's like, thank you. The emphasis for the conference in having the staff men say, Pastor, you need to teach more because the men are coming to hear these things from you. And part of why that is true, I'm scheduled to go several places. I'm going to help that church. It's not because I'm special. It's because our church is healthy. So when I say it, or the other men get up and say, we need to embrace this responsibility, the doors that God has opened for pastor, what is really being said is because we are a healthy church, and because we're doing what's necessary to be a healthy church, and we're laboring in love, and we're receiving the word with power, and we're following the leadership God has given us, now we are an example. Does this make sense? Amen. To other churches. Amen. If you want to be a healthy church, you don't model a sick one. Right. If you want to get healthier, you don't go to where people are sick and say, now what are you doing? Same thing with churches. Right. Number seven. I'm on seven. Now you know why I didn't tell you how many I had. A healthy church spreads the gospel everywhere. Look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. See, the phrase sounded out means to blast like a trumpet. Right. Healthy churches are not quiet about the gospel. Amen. A healthy church sends missionaries, trains soul winners, reaches into their community, engages the next generation. Do you know why we could have a Sunday school revolution and we could start more churches and start them in houses and start them in schools and start them in hotel conference rooms? Because we're a healthy church. It publishes the truth. It confronts error. It declares Christ boldly. It's that trumpet. Make no mistake about it. If you know anything about this church, you know what we stand for. People either come and they run to this place because of what we believe, or they stay away from it because of what we believe. The point is, it's trumpeted. It's sounding out from here. They proclaim the truth. Number eight. A healthy church turns from idols to serve God. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These individuals who were saved out of idolatry. And by the way, you get saved, you're saved out of idolatry. They were willing to leave behind their idols, their way of life. Their whole society was built around those idols. You say, wow, that's crazy being in a pagan country like that. Well, we live in one. It's built around the dollar. It's built around the economy. It's built around. And by the way, most Christians would trade freedom and liberty of worship and spreading the gospel for a better economy. You know, we have our idols on Sunday. It's the NFL. It's other things. It's built around the idols. But they had to leave that. It'd be sad to say that there's some Christians who wouldn't come back to church on Sunday night. They wouldn't serve because they had to watch football. That's an idol. Or I can't get more involved because I couldn't work my overtime. And now, if you got to keep a roof over your head, keep a roof over your head. That's not what I'm talking about, though. We turn from idols to serve God. What about my hobby? The hobby is not sinful. This ties right into the addiction message. The idol is not, the hobby may not be sinful, but it might be something that you have set before you that it gets all the attention. It gets the priority. It gets, Paul is saying, man, I am thankful for this church. Because everything that was an idol to them, they set it aside so they can serve God. Number 9, and the last one. We're already to verse 10. A healthy church lives expectantly for Christ's return. Notice the end of verse number 9. To serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. I'm serving while I'm waiting. Now, it's not waiting and not serving. If we're waiting, we have days God's given us, we probably should be serving because we don't want to be sitting when we could be serving when the sun comes back. They lived expectantly. You know, if we lived with the rapture, with Christ's return in view, you think our holiness would be a different level? You think we'd serve Him with more urgency? Young people, young couples, teenagers, single adults don't have the mindset that I'll eventually get serious about serving God. One, you don't know how many days you have. And two, you don't know when Jesus is coming back. Whenever He comes back, there's going to be a lot of people who are caught up in the rapture who had that mindset, one day I'll get serious about it. And if you're not a young person, you're an older person, don't have the mindset, well, when I retire, then I'll have more time. You'll be too old then. You won't be too old. But don't wait until then. The urgency. You know, it's our strength. Our strength is in we believe Jesus is coming back, so we have got to get busy for Him. It keeps us healthy. It keeps the priorities right. A church that stops looking for Christ will soon stop living for Christ. The churches today say, whatever you do is fine. Live however you want to live. They're not looking for Christ's return. They're not. In conclusion, would Paul thank God for this church? As an example, if every church was like our church, how healthy would churches be? Now, I like to think that Paul would be thankful for this church. I like to think that churches would be healthy because of this church, but it's a good reminder for us. It's a good pointed reminder for you and I that if for our church to be healthy, we've got to be healthy. See, Paul thanked God for Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonica, because their faith was real, their love was sacrificial, their hope was steadfast. They received the word of the Lord with sincerity. They had strong witnesses, that a great example that inspired others. This is marks of a spiritually healthy church. What we must remember is that church doesn't become healthy by accident. You can buy a treadmill and put it in a garage, but that don't make you healthy. It didn't happen by accident. The church doesn't become healthy and it doesn't stay healthy. Christian, let me say to you tonight, you're not going to become a healthy Christian just because your pastor taught on it. It takes commitment. It takes prayer. It takes, hey, let's all get that unity from the standpoint. This is what we want to do as a church, so I'm going to get on board with that. It's surrender. We need to surrender to what God has for us. This is, and I'll use this as an example, and I'm done. And I, meeting with the men, we would have had several things for them in the last couple of weeks. And I think I even used this illustration in past Bible studies. I said to them, this is not a place for you to get comfortable. If you're looking for a ministry for you to be comfortable, this is not the ministry. You say, well, Pastor, why is it? Because I have no interest in being comfortable when Christ is returning. Our days are ticking by. There's much for Him to do. God's given us opportunity. God has allowed us for a long time to be an example church. We must continue to do that. There's more people that need to be reached with the gospel. We have new people in our church now. They need the right kind of example. They need to be shown that there's a way of higher living, not so we can pat ourselves on the back or pound our chest. It's because Christ is worthy of it, and we can be an example for somebody else to follow. It takes commitment. It takes prayer. It takes surrender. Let's ask God to make our church and to keep our church the kind of church that pleases heaven, that heaven applauds, that heaven's excited about, that Christ is pleased with. That if Paul were writing us a church, he'd say, I thank God. I'm thankful that I have that I belong to a healthy church. I'm thankful. Now, we can rejoice in a healthy church, but we have to work to keep it a healthy church. And just as I said just a moment ago, if all the churches were as healthy as we are as a church, how healthy would churches be? If all the other church members were as healthy of a Christian as you are, how healthy would our church be? Let's make it personal. I mean, how spiritually healthy am I? And here's a good standard for us as a church to be reminded of. So I hope Pastor keeps the church on the straight and narrow. Well, I hope my church people keep themselves on the straight and narrow. This is a good chapter for us to reference, not just as a church, but as individuals. I'm part of God's church, so I need to fit in that. Am I receiving the word as I should receive it? Am I laboring with love? It's much more enjoyable with the cause of Christ when you're contributing. You might not have the same level, you might have the same ability to labor in certain areas as somebody else, but in the area God has given you, are you laboring in that? Why are you doing it? Well, I do it out of love. Love for Him first, but love for others. Church, we can be thankful for. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You.